Thank you for tuning in to the Business and Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Neal. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Alan Reeves. He owns Mouse Calls and Luminosity, two great businesses. We're going to talk about how he got started and a little bit about what his companies do. It's really an interesting story for people out there that are getting started in the IT space to hear but where they've come from and how they've grown over the last several years and how now they've established a national footprint. So thanks for coming on, Alan.
Thank you, Nathan. I very much appreciate you asking me to be on the show.
So you want to get started and tell us a little bit about your background with Mouse Calls and how Mouse Calls got started and what Mouse Calls does.
Well, yeah, I will. And I'm happy to. In the process, I'm going to completely date myself. So roll with me on that.
Okay.
In the late 90s, I was a technical representative for Packard Bell NEC.
My first computer was a Packard Bell.
Yeah, that was a lot of people's first computer. Was it one of the flat pizza boxes?
It was a large tower.
Got it.
But I remember my school had the large pizza boxes. With the big monitors that sat on top. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they were next to impossible to open, work on, or upgrade. Yeah. but my role, and it was a phenomenal job, but I would go into big box at the time, so like CompUSA and Computer City and the like. And I would train up management and staff, talk to them about the different offerings, the different software bundles that were going in there, the different hardware releases. I still remember talking up the first 1 gigahertz processor that Packard Bell came out with. And what I noticed very, very quickly in doing this job is that people would come in, whether they were business owners or consumers, they would bring computers in to Circuit City or wherever I happened to be. And they would have problems. They would come up to these people selling computers and say, can you build me a website? My Microsoft Office is crashing. What do I do? And at the time, there was no Geek Squad. There was no service department within these stores. It was just sales. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, this was kind of like, well, you know, if every car dealership had no service department, then people aren't going to know where to go when they have a problem with their car. And they're going to salespeople with problems. And it just didn't make sense. And I had the ability to help them. So I just hung out a shingle. I put 3 flyers up in some local grocery stores. And within 2 to 3 months, the demand for that service has outpaced what I was doing with Packard Bell and NEC. So I shifted gears very quickly. My wife thought of the name of the business at 3 a.m. one time. So it woke me up and said, I know the name of your business. And I was irritated. And I said something like, it better be good.
Yeah.
She said, it's Mouse Calls. And I got up, I made a pot of coffee. I checked the U.S. Patent and Trademark Database to see if it was registered. It was not. I started that process. I got the trademark in 2001, mm-hmm. and hired my first tech in 2003, and we grew exponentially.
That's a great story. So it all got started from 3 flyers.
3 flyers in grocery stores, correct.
Yeah. Wow, that's... So you went from selling it to supporting it and made a rather significant shift. That's really amazing because... You're right. If I have a problem with my truck, a sales guy is not going to be able to help me to service it. He's only going to be able to sell me the initial product.
Yeah. And you got to remember that we're in the first 5 years of the mainstream internet, and mm-hmm. we're in the era of Windows 95 and Windows 98 and, you know, Mac OS 7 or 8-ish. Mm-hmm. And computers on the whole were just not as reliable or dependable as they are now. And we didn't have smart devices. So, the demand at that time was extraordinary.
So when you got started with your one technician, did you have a storefront that you operated out of, or did you operate out of your home?
So that was a total accident. That engineer for the first 2 to 3 months would commute every morning to my home, and we would leave either together or separately from there to take on our day. Mm-hmm. That I knew from the beginning that wasn't going to work. And there was this particular office space that I was trying to lease. And I found out after the fact, months later, that the owner of the building did not want to rent to us because he didn't like technology and he didn't like computers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess that's like, because I have a tech company that I was managing outside of when I graduated college, and we did telemarketing, and we had people telling us that Microsoft was evil and hanging up. So that stuck around for a little while.
Yeah. Well, we had a client at the time who was a juvenile court judge here who was quite well known and well respected in the community. And I was taking care of a job for him one day, and he's asking me about the business, and I'm saying, yeah, I'm trying to get into this building over here. I had no idea that he knew the owner. And he calls up the owner and he says, why aren't you leasing to Alan Reeves and Mouse Calls? And within 3 days we had signed paperwork, and we went into that building, and all I wanted was office space. I just wanted a place for us to have to go to work and a place to work on computers that we might have to bring back. Mm-hmm. Well, the codes dictated at the time that we had to put a sign up.
Okay.
So we did that. And before I knew it, we had walk-in traffic, which I never intended on.
And people coming in looking for you to solve their computer problems.
Exactly. And within months, we were averaging 5 to 10 a day in this little bedroom community 10 miles outside of Nashville. Mm-hmm. I had to make some very serious adjustments and hires to support that. And that was one of the first major business mistakes that I made. Mm-hmm. I capitulated to a particular demand, and I mean, it did services and it was a revenue stream, but I didn't anticipate what it would take to support that.
Right.
So,
and you can grow too fast sometimes.
And we did.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely did.
So fast forward a little bit. What has happened between then and now with Mouse Calls?
Well, obviously as time goes by and business models change, as with other entities, we began looking at recurring revenue models, managed services, et cetera. And, you know, a dozen years ago, we were a break fix business doing over $500,000. And the amount of managed service clients we have, was probably under 20. And a lot of these were very, very small one-off plans. One thing that was remarkable and really made a massive difference for our future, I still have this document. We were lucky enough in late 2004, the Owen School of Business at Vanderbilt University picked us out of dozens of different businesses in Nashville. They picked us to do a study on, and basically I had to give them a full semester to do ride-alongs, to open the books, operations, everything. And they created a short and long-term revenue plan that was managed services. They didn't know they were doing it, but that's what it was. And it's fascinating to go back and look at that. So I knew at that time that I had to steer toward a recurring revenue model. We launched those plans in 2008. And by that time, I wasn't sleeping well. Mm-hmm. We had some larger profile clients. We had some business clients. We had some nonprofits that we supported statewide. And
wow.
We were very popular because our staff at the time, we had a couple of people that were really, really good, but they would go in, and you can think of them kind of like a MASH unit. Somebody had a problem, they go in, they band-aid it and leave, and the client's happy. But at the end of the day, the client didn't have the best solution.
Right.
And that kept me up. It didn't necessarily keep the client up, but you know, I'm the prototype of what so many of us deal with. At the time I was a technician slash engineer that was trying to be a businessman versus focusing on the business completely. And you know, that presented, you know, a lot of problems, particularly when we had the catastrophic flood in Nashville that we did in 2010. That was a bit of a game changer.
And did that impact you and your storefront when that flood had come through?
I wish I had video of it. We had the storefront that we were in at that time, because we had changed locations. We had more than doubled our size, and it was a standalone building, and it was, you couldn't see it. It was on risers, and we had 4 inches of water flowing under that thing for about 12 hours. And there was no compromise. The roof didn't even leak, but we were at ground zero. Anderson Cooper did his show 4 days later, walking distance from that office. Just every direction away except for one led downhill to just catastrophe. And we had immediate issues. We had clients who obviously were very displaced. And frankly, you know, any AR that we had was suddenly on hold. And for any business, that's profoundly impactful. I remember going into a payroll cycle shortly after the flood. And on a Thursday, we had about $1,000 in the bank. And somehow we came through that.
Badly impacted and they couldn't pay the.
So true story. We had not one client that was on any plan that lost any data at all. Not one. And we case studied that for a little bit. But the first day that we were able to open, which was 3 days after the major flood, we had 10 businesses that one day that brought in equipment that had been, you know, critical equipment that had been completely submerged. And we're talking servers, we're talking external backup drives, we're talking, rack mount devices, just caked in mud. Mm-hmm. And dripping river water as they're bringing them in. And I quit counting after that day. There were literally dozens. And I saw many businesses that closed their doors or had to start their books from scratch or, you know, any combination thereof. And that's when I knew it was time to kind of change things up a bit.
Mm-hmm. So how did you change things up coming out of that?
I didn't know how to do it. I was asking attorneys and friends for advice, and I'm like, you know, there's a better way to serve commercial clients that need compliance, that need that, you know, basic subset of services. Because at the end of the day, we can't care about our clients' businesses more than they do. Mm-hmm. And I found that I was doing exactly that, and it was keeping me up at night. And so I ended up getting with a couple of other gentlemen, and we spun off another company I moved all the Mouse Calls business clients that really fit that model into that other company. And that company took off. I walked away from it about 3 years ago and refocused on Mouse Calls, as well as my other venture that I've just now really kind of starting to get off the ground. But it was a much better fit, you know, for those clients that needed that better, higher level of service. My conundrum was, you know, and we see it in peer groups, we talk about it amongst each other, but sometimes, and it may be 20 to 30% of the time, you meet with a prospect and you know, they're just not a fit, whether it's, you know, their expectations are unreasonable regarding pricing or regarding service delivery or what have you. It might be, it might be that it's just not a cultural fit. Mm-hmm. There can be all kinds of reasons, but you want to be able to have these conversations and figure out who you're most likely to have success with. And by the way, that doesn't mean who can I sell the most stuff to. Mm-hmm. It means who can you establish a trust relationship with that goes beyond a vendor relationship. that, you know, where you're not just doing QBRs or annual technology road mapping, you're meeting for a beer because you want to. Now, obviously during a pandemic, that changes the game a little bit, but those are the kind of relationships that I always like to build. And I like to have people around me that, that feel that way too. And as a result, our churn rate has always been well below the average for our industry. And I couldn't reconcile in my head wanting to provide a better or higher level of service delivery with having a storefront and an open sign that's, you know, bright and flashing from 8 to 6 every day.
Right.
Because you're inviting people in to do business with you. And it's not a model where you actually vet to see if it's a fit. So, you know, it took months to kind of figure this out. And at the end of the day, it was, you know what, spin off another entity, just a different business model, different class of service, and the clients that belong in there and the prospects that fit, that's where they need to go.
Okay. Now, how does that connect into Luminosity?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It really doesn't at all. Luminosity was born out of the fact that I saw gaps in service delivery. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a lot of things coming down the pike that I'll be at liberty to discuss in detail very shortly, and ideally by the end of this month and certainly in February. But in Mouse Calls, in the other entity as well, and when I was, you know, when I would go to functions like ASCII group events or IT Compass, which I believe the IT Compass last year was the last group event that I did before the pandemic. You make fantastic friends. You meet circles of people, and then you see things that maybe you're able to do because of the staff you have that other companies could avail themselves of and create a revenue model just because now they're able to offer a technology related service that they weren't before.
Okay.
And you know, it's very, very similar to some things that you've done and are doing where maybe, you know, as a technology company. And it goes back to what I was saying before, you know, people walking into a Circuit City or a Best Buy in the late 90s saying, can you build me a website? Because they have no idea where to go. It's let's go to these guys that sell computers because they might know.
They don't know who else to talk to.
Right. So I, you know, Luminosity was kind of born out of a conversation that I was having some years ago with a very dear friend of mine now. And he owns a telecommunications master agency where they're selling internet connectivity. They're selling voice over IP. They're selling television service and phone service to businesses. And I'll give a shout out to Bill McCleskey at MyTech Partners. Good, just super, superb human being. And, you know, Bill was talking about, you know, how often they get approached about, you know, anything technology related because they're in that arena. And he wasn't necessarily saying, you know, he didn't want to learn the managed services business. He didn't want to become an IT company.
Right.
He was just kind of brainstorming ways to like where, you know, he's like, hey, I've got a lot of MSP partners, a lot of IT companies that sell, their services. And one thing that they can do with their client base is say, hey, you know, through our partnership with MyTech, we can analyze your, you know, your connectivity bill. We can check out your bill with Comcast or AT&T or Spectrum or whoever it is, because we may be able to increase your current bandwidth for the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. Or we might be able to lower your bill. And through the leverage that MyTech has. So it was an immediate in for these MSPs and IT companies to add value.
Right, because you already have the client base, so anything you can upsell. So that's a lot similar to our one entity, the MSP Web Pro, where these companies aren't looking to do web development themselves, but they can have us white label a solution for them where they can get recurring residuals off of that work and make themselves look bigger and have larger service offerings.
Exactly. So, you know, Bill and I discovered very early on in our friendship that we actually had a mentor in common. Dr. David Furze is a retired professor. He was the gentleman who was at the Owen School of Vanderbilt in the graduate program that his class did the study on us 16 years ago. He's also one of the founders of the Nashville Entrepreneur Center. And that's how Mr. McCleskey knew him. And, you know, we kind of put our heads together and said, you know, what are some services that we could take both directly to end users, meaning, you know, companies, just commercial clients that they could make money on? What could we also create to take to IT service companies that would help them create recurring revenue streams, but also not step on their toes? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we don't, you know, like I said, MyTech has dozens of IT and MSP partners
right,
that refer business. So obviously MyTech Partners is not interested in going into competition with those folks, mm-hmm. but Luminosity, you know, where it could possibly deliver some services or concepts that complement or fill in these gaps in a way that they don't have to learn the platform. They don't have to, they don't have to hire staff to support, you know, in your case, like website design. If I'm, you know, like with you, I don't have to hire a web guy or staff or outsource to an entity of questionable quality overseas.
Right. So it would be kind of the same way, like for the IT company that I own, if I didn't want to add additional staff, I could then bring in your new entity to outsource those service tickets. So basically right. all I need to do is sell and maintain the client relationship.
Correct. And, you know, one thing that we've done recently out in the Reno market, that's our second largest market. We've got subscribers now in 26 states, but our second largest footprint is in Reno outside of Nashville. And very recently, we did a job out there where we are providing digital signage to a car wash. Mm-hmm. This car wash is about an hour south of Reno, and they get 400 vehicles a day on average. Now, just imagine the eyeballs on the signage. And that's where we're working actually with their marketing company out there. It's a company that's very similar to yours, mm-hmm. but this company provides social media management. They provide website design. They provide SEO services to this car wash. Mm-hmm. But what they don't provide is digital signage solutions. So we created an agreement where, you know, we provided the hardware, we did the installation, we provide the licensing, and we gave them the training for the signage software. And now they create the graphics, they create the videos, they upload it to the signage, they make money on that, and we make a little residual on the location and the licensing. Right. So basically, Luminosity is there to help IT providers fill in the gaps and create win-wins at scalable levels. It might be a smallish amount. It might be a largest amount. It might be a product that's kind of a one-off or something like digital signage. Yeah, you can scale it, but you almost have to get like a franchise or a restaurant chain to do that.
You got to get a lot of clients to make it worth it.
Right. With that said, there are going to be technology related offerings, there are going to be security related offerings, and there are going to be marketing related offerings that we're going to be rolling out over the course of the next 2 years. We've already got that roadmap. So very, very much looking forward to it.
And we'll have you back on when you're able to talk more about Luminosity. I think that's something our listeners, a lot of our listeners are in the tech space. So I think that'd be something that, you know, a lot of them could benefit from. But just kind of going back to your story about how Mouse Calls has grown and you've grown into these other enterprises, what are some tips that you would give to the young technician starting out, starting to run his own, you know, either break fix or MSP to keep moving forward? I mean, you've moved forward for, you know, it sounds like over 16 years, you've built up these businesses in the industry. So what tips would you provide to somebody that's just getting started?
Oh gosh, there are several just off the top of my head. Number one, learn to value your own time. I think that would be absolutely number one. Learn to value your own time. Know your worth. Make sure that you have the self-respect that you need to go out there and execute on this properly. In 2007, I attended a small Robin Robbins event down in Atlanta. And one thing that she said during that event really, really stuck with me to this day. And that is, at the conclusion of service, before you have left the premises, if you are uncomfortable about asking for money, asking for payment at that time, something is either wrong with you, your service delivery, or your business model. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely 100% correct. Number two, I would say, quit trying to solve mysteries. There are so many typically younger clients or younger technicians, and I've seen some older ones too, that love the challenge of getting way, way down and figuring out what is causing this problem. At the end of the day, the end user does not care. They don't care. They want to be up and running. And if you need to put some stop gaps in before fixing it the right way, and always fix it the right way in the end. But if you need to figure something out, then do that for them. You know, just don't go down a hole on somebody else's dime. Hire people with positive energy. And I cannot stress that strongly enough. I had a client in 2003 when I hired my first tech tell me, people will make all the difference. It's who you surround yourself with, whether they be a business partner or somebody you hire to clean your office. Mm-hmm. It's impactful. And I was hoping that he was wrong, and he was not wrong. That gentleman was absolutely right. Hire people with positive energy who bring their own vision and enthusiasm and teamwork and are, you know, all these different service ethos. If you are leading people, read, I believe it's Simon Sinek, Leaders Eat Last, if I'm not mistaken. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal book. Understand that as a business leader, you are accountable as well as being at the top. You are accountable to your staff. You are accountable to your business. You're accountable to your shareholders. You're accountable to yourself. And having a business, growing a business, when you do hit a level of success, that doesn't mean that it's time to just mail it in and spend your time at the lake house or use your newfound income or whatever that may be to just sort of ride, because you're not entitled to that. It can go away like that. So you've got to safeguard what you have. Possibly, you know, get a small line of credit for emergencies, or make sure you've got 3 months worth of expenses covered in an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. Don't put your trust in anyone but yourself when you're dealing with things at the highest levels. Get an attorney. Always have an attorney that you can call. And one of the best things that we did was change our accounting to the Profit First system. And we just did that, you know, within the past 2 years. That has helped us across the board with budgeting, surprises, and everything else. And the beautiful thing about that system is it can scale. If you're a one-man show, you can do that easily.
I wish I had a lot of that advice when I had first started out.
Oh, listen. I've made
some expensive mistakes that cost more than college tuition, but I learned from them. I always say a mistake is okay as long as you can learn from it and not do it again.
Absolutely. And, you know, I bear a lot of lines on my face and a lot of scars because I got to this point very much the hard way. You know, I did not have a business education. That's okay. I learned over time to think about things. I am by no means perfect. I am by no means the best example of how to run a business. There are people out there, and I look at them in our industry and outside where I go, man, you know, I would love to have a third of their knowledge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, everything is relative. Everything is relative. There are a lot of people that I'm sure look down on me as small potatoes. And there are a whole lot of people that look at me and go, man, I cannot wait until I get to that point.
Right. So
it's all relative. And it's all about, again, it's all about positivity. It's all about helping people up and helping people out and creating a service delivery experience for your clients that really, you know, makes you a very sticky presence, makes them never want to leave you. I can't stress that enough either.
Well, thanks for joining us, Alan. Your story is amazing. Your tips and suggestions are great. Any new business owner can benefit from listening to this podcast or somebody that's looking to start a business. So I really want to thank you for your time and ask you to come back on the show when you're ready to talk a little bit more about Luminosity. I'm really excited to learn more about that.
I will put it on my calendar to give you a heads up. How's that? I promise I will be back if you'll have me. And this has been great. Thank you so very much for the invitation. And this is an absolute pleasure.